Pasuk in the Torah says that we're not permitted to charge ribbis or lend money to a fellow Jew. And this one says in the Bava Metzia, there's a whole Torah here, in the middle of Bava Metzia that has all the details of Hilchos Ribbis, and Allah says Yerodei, a big chunk of the second chelik of Yerodei has all the Hilchos Ribbis. Mishnah at the end of the second Torah, Mishnah at the end of the Torah of Zeh Neshech, in the middle of Bava Metzia, points out Hilchos Ribbis that only applies to the Malva, cheating the lawyer, taking away the extra money, with the Nisa Ribbis on the lawyer. Not only is there Nisa with the ego, but it's a dichshon that the lawyer is causing the Malva to violate his Nisa Ribbis. It was a Ribbis in addition to the ego, but it's a dichshon that an additional that violates the Nisa of giving the Ribbis. And in the Shulchan Aruch they point out, based on the Gemara's beginning of Parashat Zeh Neshech, that if I lend you money to Ribbis, I already violate the Gemara called that Shulchan Aruch. First half in the Zeh Neshech, what's Shulah? Shulah means when I am co-paid the ribbis, I say I'm lending you $100, 8% interest, 15% interest, even if ultimately I never collect it. In the end, I say I don't want to collect that extra money, just paying back the carrier. So I've already violated the use of ribbis, so I lend you. It's kasbachal etitan la Zeh. When you lend the money to ribbis, you already violated that ribbis. Then there's an additional lease to that, but don't say, look, once he's already violated out there by lending him the ribbis, then nothing will be, it won't make it any worse if later on you collect the ribbis. No, that's an additional law. A tikkach nisa neshech tzadik. When you collect the ribbis with the stuff, that's an additional law there. And you take it. There are two different issues. One is to lend the money to ribbis, one is to collect it. Gemara stresses how serious this idea is, and Gemara quotes from the Pesukim and Navi that the person who lends the ribbis, choyo lo yichia, that he won't have a tear coming. That's a terrible out there. The person loses his opportunity for having clear summation on the assumption that clear summation is something good. Someone says that the Nadim always say that it's a punishment. Some people feel that it's the French philosophers were committing suicide because they held it in the extension, how it's not worth living. But we assume obviously not. So not only do we hold that it's worth living, we hold that it's worth coming back to life after having died. Clear summation is considered a gewaltige Sache, and a person who really did is punished with no punishment. So this is considered a terrible avera, obviously, if the yoinish is so big that because the person ends the ribbis, the choy lo yikir, you know, the yechesko, so he's not going to have a tears on it. What's such a terrible avera? So the Avnei Nezer and his tshuva has separate tshuvas on Arachayim Yerodei, for Shemisha, and Yerodei has a whole section on Hilchos Ribbis. It's practically a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, practically sif by sif. He marks on every single siman, and practically on every single sif he has a comment to say. And it's his style comment. The key is small over the Gemara is only obscurely shown in every single teaching for Bethlehem. And then actually he points out something. He makes hashvuot, he makes comparisons, worse comparisons about areas of halacha. So his style of Torah. So he calls this whole country the Bris Achim, because the word Bris is the same letters as the word Bidris. And many Mephoshim explain that the idea behind Ribbis is that we have sort of a club, a union. All the Jewish people are supposed to be friendly with each other, and we're not permitted to lend each other the Ribbis. If a person needs a halva, he's supposed to give him a chesed, he's supposed to give him a loan without charging any Ribbis. But the person charges Ribbis means that he treats the other person as if he's not biachus, as if they're not together, as if we don't have this unity. And that's what a person loses, is his opportunity to chiyas hamei. A person doesn't feel the sense of attachment to the rest of the Jewish people. The Bala Machleik is a break work from others, so that's considered a terrible idea. To lend money to a nachri b'ribis is permissible. If that's understanding claim that it's a mitzvah. La nachri sashir. When it says in the Torah, la nachri sashir, doesn't mean you're permitted to charge ribis to a nachri. That doesn't mean you're obligated to charge ribis. That's a dispute between the Rambam and the Raizim. Very strange. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Raizim. How to translate the words of a pasuk? Machlokes in a din der Raizim that doesn't appear in the Gemara. No, machlokes katan rayim. Machlokes the Rambam and the Raizim had a pasuk. Machlokes the Rambam and the Raizim had to translate pshat in the Chumash. The Rambam says, well, nothing is sashef, yet must charge ribbis. If you lend money, not if you lend money to Goyim, but if you lend money to a nachri, you're obligated to charge ribbis. And the Raizim says, no, nothing is sashef, you're permitted to charge ribbis. Doesn't mean that you're obligated to. If I lend money to enough, the Gemara says that the Rabbanim is prohibited to charge ribbis from the nachri. According to the Rambam, this should oppose the problem. Syria, this is the Esmin, I've heard, whenever you lend to enough, you have to charge ribbis. How can the Rabbanim prohibit us from charging rent for the yeshivas, like they prohibited us from buying shayt on the Rosh Hashanah for on Shabbos. They prohibited us from bringing carbon tests off sometimes. They prohibited us from putting on fishes and the biggest of fishes. Yeah, the Gemara should have said that. The Gemara in Yivamah Zabtadik lists off all of the instances of the Eshkeach, Erach HaChamim, Rach HaDom, and Atar B'Shevi Al-Tas. The Gemara doesn't mention all of these prohibits. Maybe this is a lady there, that's an early Gemara, whatever. It's not so simple. The Rambam Al-Pitashtus is against the Gemara. First Pashat in the first of Israel. Not that you're committed to charge this, not that you're obligated to charge this. You're obligated to the Rishonim. The Gemara should have brought up the question, how could they have made it there with the Rabban prohibiting charging ridges when you're allowed to enough? The Rabban Thomas claims that prohibition no longer applies to Gemara. The Gemara says the reason why the Rabban prohibited us from charging ridges for Anachri was in order that we shouldn't associate with the non-Jews, that we shouldn't deal with them in business, nor the Kadesh Al-Yilman Mimaikos, in order that we shouldn't learn from their ways. We'll become assimilated. If we won't become assimilated, we'll pick up attitudes, very shallow kind of life. So that's what the Gemara says, this prohibition, this special Zerim der Rabbanan against lending the Rizit Menachri, which really means prohibiting business with non-Jews, doesn't apply to Talmidei Chachamim, because the fact that he's going to learn Torah will insulate him from the outside influences, and he will not pick up their attitude, he will not assimilate. And then the Rabbeinu Tam says, if I'm within her rabbi, what should I have to say that the Jews should be insulated, that you're not going to lend their interest to the nothing, you won't deal with the non-Jews? You deal daily with the non-Jews in business. You have to deal with the non-Jews. You have no other way to live. There's no chutzpah. So Rabbeinu Tam says that his mana says that holds there, the Rabbeinu doesn't fly. That's what he did for a living, Rabbeinu Tam. He was a money lender. I don't know where he got the money in the first place, but he used to lend money doing this to the Nachman. I think the Rishonim right over when the Rabbi Tam was nervous, he wanted to relax, he used to play his point. And that we like. So the question is, when you lend the ribbis to a non-Jew, and he's obligated to pay back the carry, he has to pay back the $100, and pay 10% interest. The extra $10, what makes him obligated to pay that extra $10? What's the machayev? And if not for the prohibition of ribbis in the Chumash, if I was lent to a Jew $100 and I was then charging him $10 ribbis, he would be obligated also to pay. Except the Torah prohibits it, so you're not allowed to do it. If not for that prohibition, it would have been a sin. He has to pay the extra money. What is the machayev? You know that that's so. When you borrow from the bank, you have to pay the interest. And you put your money in the savings bank and they obligate themselves to pay you the interest that they pay. What's the machayev of giving this interest? And this is a major question. The Avnei Neder, in his country's Brit Akin, takes the traditional position that the classical operating world took, and above there, and the Sefer Ambov Nasiya quotes the Sefer Contribution, and the first contribution above, there's a little piece of the model that so if they're quoting the name of Chaim Soloveitchik, a completely different position, that he disagreed with the classical traditional tradition. The traditional tradition was that if I rent you an automobile, or if I rent you an apartment, if I rent you a tuxedo, I rent you anything, I have a right to charge to the youth. If I give you money, I give you $100, I have a right to charge you to the use of my money. I can charge you whatever. I can charge you a fixed rate. I want $10, I can charge you a percentage per month, the longer you have, whatever I want, I can charge, because that's serious. I can charge for you. So Baruch Beck quotes Rav Chaim didn't think that that was correct at all. The whole idea of charging rental fees is you're going to be using my tuxedo, you're going to be using my jacket. So when I lend you money, the Gemara tells us that mills are not hatsonim. The minute that I give you the money belongs to you. That's a simple shot, mills are not hatsonim. That's how we learn, that's how I learn, that's how you learn. Rashi doesn't seem to learn that. Tumim points out that Rashi seems to learn mills are not hatsonim. That the money still belongs to the Malta, but he gave permission to the Leiter to spend. I give you permission to spend my money. It's not what he told me to mean that the money belongs to you the minute I lend it to you. The money still belongs to me, but you have permission to spend it to me. Mara just says, no, but I told me, even though it's for me, of the Malta, but it's saying it's Vishusi. Because Shalai Vishusi means that I have full accessibility to it. If I lend you the money, it's understood that you have the right to do whatever you want. If I do not have the right any longer to do what I want, it's going to affect your ability to do what you want, because I just gave you permission to do whatever you want with the money. You can burn it, you can spend it, whatever you want. But that's why Rashi interprets that Yimam Rubala, he's going to, if the money is no longer Bishusa at the Malva, But let's leave out that Rashi. That's the unique pshat. The question of the Ramot, the Ramot Chosh Mishpat writes like that Rashi, and somebody makes a big fuss about that. But that's how Rashi learns. But the Chosh of Pshat in the Gemara is otherwise. The Chosh of Pshat in the Gemara is, that's the way everyone learns, not like Rashi. The minute the Malach gives the money to the Leiver, the money belongs to the Leiver. No longer belongs to the Malach. You can no longer say, I have a right to charge you interest because you're using my money. Just like I can charge you when you use my apartment, or when you use my tuxedo, when you use my automobile, I can charge you when you use my money. No, it's not my money anymore. The minute I let it be, it's your money. So you and your own money. So how can I charge you for that? So that's what Berkeley, of course, in name of time, that he didn't think that that was correct at all, in a big way. He thought that it's a totally different shot. Forget about what Machai do to pay the ribbon. Let's ask a more fundamental question. Moshe Feinstein has a whole essay about in the state on Bubba Peters. So Rabbi Abbasid raises a more fundamental question. What's Machai do to pay the Karen? I'll lend you $100. It says in the Torah you have to pay back. We're not philosophizing as to whether you have to pay or not. We want to know why do you have to pay. What do you say that is? So Rav Chaim says, it's not because I gave you $100, I'm going to give you back $100. I give you $150, I have to give you back $150. No. It's a kinyan, not a mort. Like if I give you money, I want to be cleaning your house, so the house is mixed in the cash. If I give a woman cash, if I clean the cottage, she's in the cash. And if I give cash, if let's say Hegdish, the gizmo wants to auction off something that belongs to Hegdish, he auctions it off to the highest bidder. So the Hegdish is nifsai de kesh, and if the Maitre Sheni is nifsai de kesh, and the Maitre Sheni puts it all together, the Tigian Hegdish and Tigian Maitre Sheni, and the Isha, and the Tigian character of the kesh, it's all kesh. So this is, what's the kesh? That's matamot. It's by giving money to the other person, let's say I'm a Kaddish and Isha. What does it mean? I'm kind of character of the kesh. The character is worth $500,000. I have to give him $500,000? No, I can be kind of the character of the Pusa. So what's the $500,000? I'll pay him the money later, but the Kinyan kesh is a formality. I'll give her Puthi. The Kaddish and Isha is a Puthi. Give her a ring. A $20 ring. That's all she's worth is $20? It doesn't have to correspond to her value. It could be that she's priceless. It could be that she's worthless. But she's not worth $20. Most women are not worth $20. Either they're worth much less or much more. But it's not $20 of the ring. So what is the ring? It's a Kinyan. It's a Kinyan, not a Mois. When I give the ring, some kind of. So the same thing over here. Rav Chaim claims, or both are close to the name Rav Chaim. When I give you $100, you have to pay back $100. When I give you $100, I lend you $200, you have to pay back $200. It's not because I gave you $100, I gotta give back $100. No, when I give you anything, I give you a puto, that's a kinyan. If I want it, if we agree, then she serves a kinyan. If we don't agree, we don't agree. If I give a ring to a single girl, she doesn't agree, so she doesn't. But if she agrees that this should serve as kinyan, so sir, if you both agree that this puto should serve to declare this $1 million building, then we can. So if I give you a penny, that penny can be kind of shibudim from you. It doesn't have to be kind of yen, an object, it can be kind of shibudim that you owe me an amount of money. How much money? So normally, it's self-understood that if I lend you $100, you pay back $100. I lend you $100, pay back $200. But what if we make up an event, I'll give you $100, and you only have to pay me back $90. So what's the pshat? I loaned you $100, you owe me $100, but I was Meichel 10. Chaim says, you don't have to say he was Meichel 10. They made up in advance that by this matan moed, it's only going to be mechayiv him, it's only going to be kodesh shibudim of $90, or the reverse. I give you $100 and I say, I want you to pay me back $110. Why not? We made up in advance that I give you puta and this is kodesh shibudim from you, whatever we agree to. We can agree to more, we can agree to less. Normally, under normal conditions, it's self-understood, we're agreeing to the same amount of the halvor. That's numb the nimucha. And then you $100, you have to pay back $100. And then you $1 million, you have to pay back $1 million. But it's not that that's the halacha. It's assumed that normally people lend, so they expect that the same amount. So that was the hiskaivus on the both. That was the haskama of the both parties. But if they'll be masking that he only has to pay back less, or they'll be masking that he has to pay back more. So there's more. This is a fundamental issue. That's what Rav Baruch Vick quotes in the name of Rav Chaim is the pshat and midas kitzitza. That the kitzitza has to be the shasta halvor, that the halvor, the matan moris, is mechayis to pay more than the keres. That's the definition of ribis kitzitza. This is relevant in regard to two issues that are discussed. I remember someone called me up, Shaila, someone from Philadelphia called me up with a Shaila Muslim from Yeshiva. He thought that they would never find the Shaila in print in any safer. I told him to his great surprise that it's a whole sugi in the Gemara. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole sugi about this case. That what a non-Jewish woman lends money beribis to a single girl, lends money beribis to a Jewish girl. They were roommates in college. And then a non-Jewish girl converted and she became Jewish. Now she's so observant, she wants to know, the Gioris wants to know, she's committed to collect the religious on it. So the person calls up, he thought, then he have to ask all of our Rabbanim and Yeshiva to find out, to break their heads to find out what they're doing. They told them, to the same as it did. The whole thing in the Shulchan Aruch about this, that a lot of these dinim have to do with this issue. What was the mechayiv of paying the ribbis? Do you say, let's say, the ribbis is accumulating. Every month that the girl keeps this $100, she has to give, let's say, every month that the lady keeps the $100, she has to give another $5. Keeps another month, another $5. Another month, another $5. Is that the pshat? That's the traditional way of understanding, that the mechayiv to pay the ribbis is like serious. The longer you have the right to use it, so the more you have to pay. So the use is mechayiv. That's the pshat, and the post we discussed, well, if she was in Gaira at one point, and the ribbis accumulated before she was in Gaira, the ribbis accumulated after she was in Gaira, which ribbis is she allowed to collect now, which ribbis is she not allowed to collect now. But if you say the way of science, the ribbis isn't accumulating as you go along because of the fact that you have the right to use the money for another month, you become a chayiv to pay based on the agreement that we have, another $5. That's what we agreed on, no. But Rabbi Kotz Rav Chaim, that's not the pshat. I gave you a matan moed, I loaned you $100. And this matan moed, and I gave you a big charge. And I said, if you keep it for 1 month, you have to give me back $105. Keep it for 2 months, you have to give me back $110. Keep it for 3 months, you have to give me $115. Why? Not that the extra use every month is mechayiv to pay another $5. No. The matan moed that I did 3 months ago is mechayiv to pay me back. How much is mechayiv to pay me? Depends according to the chart. If you pay me back in 3 months, then the agreement was, the matan moed, the shas nice was mechayiv you to pay $115. If you pay back in a year. The matan moed says mechayiv you to pay $150, $160, whatever happens to be. But it's not that every month the ribbis accumulates as you go along. The whole ribbis you became this chayiv, kodem shenu gaira, all the way from the beginning, from day number one. So that's one nafkamina in this issue. What is the mechayiv of the ribbis? And that statement, there were the Befei Rishidim about this case, about the Gersh and his Geyer, and he had loaned money to the Jew. There are the Befei Rishidim, but not all the details are spelled out. So the Avinezer has more details. The additional details the Avinezer brings up are dependent on this issue. Then there's another issue that Moshe Feinstein has in his Tshuvah about. Also, a question, he quotes the Magen Avraham, if you leave your money in the bank and the savings account, and they pay you, and they credit your interest daily, not that credit is, not credit is daily. If it accumulates daily, if it only accumulates by the quarter, so then there's no problem with Chag Shabbos, because that's Chag Shabbos Bahav Loh. But if the interest is accumulated, the interest is compounded daily, so then the Magen Avraham, Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes, the Magen Avraham Hilchos Shabbos says that this constitutes, this poses a problem of Chag Shabbos, that you're not allowed to make money on Shabbos, you're not allowed to rent a room on Shabbos and make money for it. When I rent an apartment out, I don't just rent it for Shabbos. I rented for a month, I rented for a year, I rented for 5 years. So that's called Chag Shabbos Bahav Loh. But if I only rent an apartment for Shabbos with the Yontif, so that sometimes will pose a problem of Chag Shabbos. Let's take the hotel. So they have to give you, in addition to the apartment, they have to give you room service, that they have to make the bed. Then they give you towel, then they give you soap or whatever else they put it, whatever they give you. And those things cost them money. But then there's no reason for Chag Shabbos if they had to lay out money for you. If I just have an empty hotel, and I just have people come and they sleep in the hotel and they go away, and I don't give them anything extra, just that they're using my hotel. So if I charge them for Shabbos, that's a violation of Chag Shabbos. But if I give them service in addition, I give them meals. I give meals. The meals cost me money. So I'm laying out money. So I certainly have the right to ask for the meals back. And once I have the right to ask for the meals back, I can already ask for a whole package of meals, even if they only come for Shabbos with the owner. So the Magen Avraham points out that if you lend money to a goy, by the day and every day he has to pay you extra amount of money, that's Chag Shabbos, and that's not called Bahav Loh. Bahav Loh means if the interest is accredited by a unit larger than Shabbos, weekly, monthly, quarterly, then it's Bahav Loh. Shabbos is swallowed up, Bahav Loh. But if the interest is accredited daily, then that's not Bahav Loh. Even though the mice is only marked down at the end of the quarter, but the way they calculate it out, the way they figure it out is daily. If it's calculated daily, then it's not called Bahav Loh. Now, Moshe Feinstein says that we are lucky that in America, the way they accumulate the interest is from midnight to midnight. So it's not that it's only for Shabbos. It's for half of Friday and half of Shabbos. It's for half of Shabbos and half of Sunday. Because everything goes from midnight to midnight, so it's not only for Shabbos. He claims that that's called Bahav Loh. He claims that that's called Bahav Loh. But he raises the question, when you have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, when you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah next to each other, when you have 2 days Yom Kippur, Sheni Shel Gol here, so the Gemara says that that's the stake of the end. Either one is Kodesh or the other is Kodesh, but they're not really both Kodesh. One is Kodesh, one is Kol. Let's forget it's called Shabbos Vavlo. When you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so you don't say that it's the stake of the end, either today or tomorrow. We say that they're both Kodesh, but they're Rabban. If you have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, so they're both Kodesh, but not Torah. So Rav Moshe says, in that case, how can you take the extra interest that the bank gives you? So he says, Enahanani, you're not allowed to. And he talks to us, when you remove your money from your savings account, you have to leave a couple of dollars there, or leave a couple of pennies in the account because of the Chai Shabbos. For all the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and for all the Yom Kippur next to Shabbos. Then he made an Erev Hashem, you've got to leave the money in the bank for those 2 days. So you have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, there's no Chai Shabbos, blah, blah. So this is all based on the traditional classical understanding of what the basis of riddus is, that the mechayiv of riddus is, the fact that the other person is using it for that day. Oh, the bank used the money another day, the bank used the money another day, so they used the money on Shabbos, used the money on Yom Tov, so that's called Kar Shabbos. They're using my money on Shabbos, is mechayiv them to pay me extra money, that's Kar Shabbos. So they say the way Rav Baruch Beck quotes from Abchaim, that it's not that the bank's using the money as a mechayiv of sinus. When I gave the money to the bank, I give them a timetable. I say, look, I'm giving you $50,000 or whatever, $10 for my bank account, whatever amount of money I'm putting in the bank. I say, and my matan was to the bank should be mechayev the bank to pay me back a different amount. I don't just want $10, I want more. How much? I give him a whole chart. If I need the money for 10 years, I have to give some. If I have the money for so long, I have to give some. So that's just a chart, a complicated calculation. You push a button on the computer and you find out how much the matam was with mechayim from day number one when I put the money in the bank. But it's not that the bank using the money on Shabbos is mechayim them to pay me. Then it's not a shkar Shabbos. Then it's a shkar Chol. I lent them the money on Chol and the matam was that was done 5 years ago, 25 years ago, was mechayim them to pay all of this money over. So these are perhaps the two nafkaminas in this fundamental issue. What is really the mechayim of the reason? You look through the Shulchan Aruch, you look at the Gemara, you wouldn't realize this. You look through the Shulchan Aruch, they have 4 different categories of riddus. If you look in the back of the Hilchos Riddus, there was a rav in Europe who discovered a manuscript from the Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, who was the author of The Crazy of Placey on Yerodeya, and the author of The Yom Ritumim on Choshen Ishpah. So he discovered a Ksaviyar of Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz on Hilchos Riddus. And he printed it, and he added on his own comments. That's called the Tleitei Hamada. He quotes from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, and then he has his own comments. So he points out here in the introduction, the Hakdama, Flow of the Rebisa, it's called the Hakdama, the Hilchos Riddus, that starts on page 234. It's printed in the back of every regular Yeridei, the back of Hilchos Riddus, the middle of the Chelek Sheni Yeridei. He points out that there are 4 different kinds of Riddus. In Gemara, you don't really realize it. There's Riddus Tiktusa, that's Riddus Beraisa. It's called Tiktusa, meaning that we set the amount from day number one. I loan you $100 and I say I want you to pay $115 at the end of the year. That's Riddus Ketutza, that's a violation of the right. Then you have Riddus She'ena Ketutza, that's called also Avak Riddus. That means I lend you $100, you have to pay back $100. Then at the end of the year, out of appreciation, you decide that you want to give me a gift. So that's prohibited in the Rabban. That's also the Rabban. Then the third category that's called Mesdiki Riddus, that's the lower level. It's only a Marasina Riddus, not the same as Avak Riddus. No. Avak Riddus is identical with Riddus Sheni Ketutza. But Mesdik Riddus is a lower level. And then according to the Rambam, there's even yet a lower level, a fourth level of Riddus, namely a third level of the Rabbanon. One level there, right? And 3 categories of the Rabbanon. The lowest level is Ha'aromas Riddus. Ha'aromas Riddus means you're not allowed to set up such a situation because it's a Haram. If you're using a legal loophole in order to do something that looks like Riddus. But on the surface, you set up the system, it's even permissible to collect that Riddus in the end. Not only so you don't have to give back, we'll get to these details. So what's the din in Riddus Ketutza? If you loan Riddus their right, I lend you $100, I lend to a Jew, and I say I want you to give me back $110 at the end of a year or two. So this is the issue of Riddus their right, and the Gemara has a dispute. A machlokes amaran, but the Riddus Ketutza is yotzei b'dayanim, and that's not a halach on the beis and don't mitzia. And it's a maseches Tmura and the first pair of Tmura. A Riddus Ketutza is ain't a yotzei b'dayanim. Tmura is davar. But the Riddus Ketutza is yotzei b'dayanim, ain't a yotzei b'dayanim. What does it mean? If I collected $110 in the besos, and you later on demand that I should return I should reimburse you the $10. Will the Bezin force me to give you back the $10? That's a dispute. The Gemara in Babutia comes to the conclusion that Ribbit Kitsuta is Yotzer Dayarim, that the Bezin will force me to give back the money. There is a machlokes in Achrayim. What does that mean? Does that only mean if you are Tezeya, if you demand that I should pay back the $10, then I have an obligation to give it back and Bezin will force me? Or it even means, let's say later on, I'm Tezeya the children. And I realize I did it not there. It's not a place of Shiva. I never realized that it's a prohibition. A lot of people never heard of it. It's possibly in the Torah, but a lot of people never heard of it. But later on, I realized that I've been lending the ribbis all along. He said that I have an obligation to pay back all of the ribbis that I collected, even if the other fellow is not Tavea. No. The only mitzvah to give back the ribbis is if the other one is Tavea. So that's the Machlok Yisachrena. That's the Machlok Yisachrena Mechoshanishka. Even the opinion in the Gemara that was not accepted, Ribbis Kitzutas, Ein or Yotzer the Dayanim, the Tosis has a Shaila, but is there a Chiyuv Lotzer to Beis Shammai? If the other fellow asks for his ribbis back, he asks that I should give him back his ribbis. So if it's not Yotzer the Dayanim, means that Bezin Shammata will not force me to pay it back. Would you say that the Dina Shammaim, I'm obligated, Bezin Shammaila will expect of me that I should give it back? Or you say no, even the Dina Shammaim, you don't have to give it back. The Tosis has a dispute about that. We assume that the Dina Shammai Ramakai is to give it back. Mayna Chimina, what do you mean we assume the Dina Shammai Ramakai is to give it back? So we pass not the other ones on it. We pass on the Ribbis Kitzutas, Yotzer Dayarim. Bezin will make you pay it back. So what are we passing on? We're taking a stand on the wrong Mandama. Within the Shita of the Mandama, the Ribbis Kitzutas, Eina, Yotzer Dayarim, because there's a little taste, it has 2 days, and there's El Nesha, it's the Babala of the Shammai, it's the Chayt to give back enough. So the Nafkimina is for Abak Ribbis. Abakri, the Gemara says explicitly, is Eina Yotzer Dayanim, even though we pass the Ribbis, the Ribbis are right, is Yotzer Dayanim, but Ribbis are Rabbanim, is Eina Yotzer Dayanim, would you say there that the Bola is the Shemayim and Chuyivana? So that depends on the two opinions and places in the Mandama who holds on Ribbis are right, that it's Eina Yotzer Dayanim. So true, we don't accept this view by Ribbis are right, but by Ribbis are Rabbanim, we do accept this view. So how do we pass it on this issue? So we pass it on the Bidini Shemayim, Yuamukhi is to give back the Avak Ribbis. But that's only if it was Avak Ribbis. But if you have other cases that are only also because they're Nestik Ribbis, means that it's a Maritime Ribbis. It looks like it's Ribbis, but it really isn't. But then it says the Farish in the Shulchan Aruch that it's only prohibited to charge that interest or to collect that interest. But once you've collected it already, then Lacha Amais is Fakhbal, that not only the Nochi is that it should be Yotzer B'Dayarim, there isn't even a Chiba B'Allah to Sibay Shemayim to return that Nestik Ribbis. And then there's even, according to the Rambam's opinion, there's even a fourth madrega, a third level in Ribbis Rambam that we call Haramas Ribbis, that it's only prohibited to set up such a situation. If you set it up and you went and you collected it already, but then you're not even prohibited from collecting it. The whole Easter Rambam is to set it up, but once it was set up, you're even permitted to collect it, and certainly not obligated to return it. What are the conditions that are necessary in order to violate Ribbis the truth of their rights? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a question from the Tosfos in Sukkos. From the Tosfos in Ezer Mesha, based on the Gemara in Sukkos, is there a klal, a proper klal? The Gemara never says the Farish, but Tosfos has a sneaking suspicion based on the Gemara in Sukkos that there is a klal, a proper klal regarding Ribbis, that the only time one violates Ribbis Kitzutah Deraita is if he loans Rabbah Hamital to the Gufa Mamet. But if he loans karka or if he loans shtoris, the halva is done in karka or shtoris, karka avadim shtoris. And if he loans, it's going to be done also in karka avadim shtoris, then it's only ribbis the rabbanim. This is one opinion of faith. If you hold like that, it's a question how he passed in the Shulchan Aruch. Some Achrayim write on the side of the Yerudei that the Rav HaKosim hold like this. That the Rav HaKosim hold like that. That in order to violate ribbis the truth of their right, you have to be lending and collecting back. So we have a talk of a group of monks. So we rarely have that. We don't have any avodim. Lincoln feed all the place. We don't have any avodim. We don't have kaikoyas. What a guy lends a karka to another guy. It's a rare case. It's hard to visualize the case. Kandazah has a lot of that. What do you mean lending karka? You sell karka, you have a right to charge whatever you want. So how do you know whether you're selling the karka? Are you charging another karka that's bigger? Or you're lending karka that he should pay you back a bigger karka? So he talks about that. It's a problematic case. But what we do have is that we lend by check and we pay back by check. And that's the Hazanish right, but that's considered Engufa Mama. The check is considered Engufa Mama. The check gives you the ability to draw money against my account. I don't have anything in my account either. My account, I have lots of checks. Yeshiva pays me a check, and I get checks from all over the place.
That means I have the right to draw money against their account. And where do they have money? So Jefferson stuck the Lamb money into Lamb has the right to draw against Jefferson. Where did Jefferson have money? Someone else gave him a check. Everyone's drawing against everyone else. But when you give a check, that's absolutely a group of money. The check is worth a group of money. That's 15th of a penny. Now, however much the piece of paper is worth, that's a piece of paper. But as the full amount, if I give a check for $100,000, that's not called group of money. It's something like a star. It gives you the right to draw money against the other guy's account, which has the right to draw money against someone else's account, which has the right to draw some money against someone else's account. The chule de chule. So the Chazon Ish says that that's considered a group of money. So when you get to ribbit, according to many poskim, and perhaps according to Rav HaPoskim, that would only constitute ribbit de rabbonim. There's another thing that the Gemara has a dispute whether Tzarech of the Ribbis is also a Mutah. Tzarech of the Ribbis means Ribbis al HaTanai. If I give you money, al HaTanai, it may turn out to be a loan and you have to give me extra. It may turn out that it's not a loan, it'll be at Mecca. Maybe I'm giving you money to buy something depending on what's going to happen in the future. So that's called Tzarech of the Ribbis. According to one side of the Tanai, it'll turn out to be Ribbis. According to the other side, it'll turn out that it won't be Ribbis. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanai whether Tzarech of the Ribbis is also or not. So we passed that it's also Ribbis al HaTanai is also. But on the side of the Yeridei again, in the Kormai Chaim and others quote from the Sefer HaTshumos, written by the Talmud HaRamban, Sefer HaTshumos is right that he thinks that Echad Ribbis is only the Rabbanon. He's not told he thinks only the Rabbanon because it's not called Kitsutsa. The Kitsutsa is only al HaTanai. Maybe yeah, maybe no. If in this event, there will be a Halvo al Ribbis. If that turns out, it won't be a Halvo al Ribbis. He thinks that maybe that's not called the Exceeded. He thinks that it's only Ribbis de Rabbanon. It's an Afkimina Ladina, Halacha Lamaisa, in many cases, whether something is Ribbis de Raita, Ribbis de Rabbanon. Number one Afkimina is whether Yerkes de Yarna. We're observant people, we're going to keep all the Dinas, Ribbis de Raita, Ribbis de Rabbanon. But it's still an Afkimina. What if it is yet that a person violated the Ribbis? Is there a Din that it's Yerkes de Yarna or not? Yeah, but still, the Bala says, Eshmaim, you have to give it back, so that's not so much of a difference. But the difference is, as far as the Yeshiva is concerned, the Gemara says, that Moishel Tzedakah, the Mashmoyah in the Gemara, it's not really the Farish, but that's what all the Rishayim understand. Moishel Tzedakah, the Yizvashel Tzedakah, is not permitted to lend it to Ribbis de Raita, but he is permitted to lend it in a certain form of Ribbis de Rabbanon. This is in Siman Kuf Samach 5th Yutet in the Yeridei, page 168. If it's Korav Eschar, the Rochek Lehetzik, that happens to be a case of Ribbis de Rabbanon that's only Mezdik Yeridei. That's the third level. What about the second level? That's Abak Ribbis, and that's the dispute. The Ritzvua, not Gemara, and Zeran Asher says that only Mezdik Ribbis or lower, Aharomas Ribbis is Mutter, but anything above it, Abak Ribbis, and certainly Ribbis Kisutsu, is prohibited for the Gizba Shal Tzadokah to lend out Moe Shal Tzadokah in such a Ribbis Rabban. The Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is against the Ritzvua. The Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is that all Ribbis Rabbanon is Mutter by Moe Shal Tzadokah. Well, let's say yeshivas. This is a problem in this yeshiva and other yeshivas. Somebody dies and leaves in his will $2 million to the school and they should lend it out, but they're saying the one who died didn't have such a good background in Jewish study. But they write in their will that the yeshiva should lend out their money for Ribbis at the same low rates that the government gives you student loans. Same low rates, but it's still an interest in their rights. So in the yeshivas, all control, lend us government money for Ribbis. She's just a middleman. It's just a broker over here. They're lending Goyisha money. The government of the United States, that Goyisha government. They're lending Goyisha money to the state of Jewish. It's not a problem. Goyisha Malvin, a Jewish lawyer is okay. But here, these people die and leave in their wills that the yeshiva should, this money now belongs to the yeshiva, and the Gizbe Shal Tzedakah, who that so-called, whoever is in charge of the money here, this town, should lend me the money, the Ribbis, so the Gizbe Shal Tzedakah is lending me the Ribbis. So the question is, what kind of Ribbis are they in violation of here? What could it be? If it's only Ribbis de Rabbanon, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter for the Gizbe Shal Tzedakah to lend Ribbis de Rabbanon. So usually the money is loaned by check and it's paid back by check. So whenever it's loaned by check, the Kamer will come across and hold that it's only Ribbis de Rabbanon. And even if one should say that it's Ribbis de Raita, Rabbi Kivegi there in the Pizchei Tshuva and Sinu Kuf Samach Pizchei Tchez quote that the Tshuva Sar Ashbo questions Bechlau, maybe there's no issue at all. For a Moe Shal Tzedakah, the Gizbe Shal Tzedakah should lend Tzedakah money even the Ribbis de Raita. Gemara in Bava Metzia that says you're allowed to lend it. Gemara is rather not talking about Moishel Tzedakah. Gemara is talking about the apotropos lending Moishel Yisrael. But not Gemara, the Rishonim extracted this cloud. If the apotropos is permitted to lend the Moishel Yisrael the reason is the Rabbanon. So certainly, who had the army, the Gizbe Shalzdaka is permitted to lend, more Shalzdaka, the reason is the Rabbanon. But the truth is, the Rabbanon has a topic to say that the whole Easter is only applied between two Jewish people, if the Mavon and Lava are both Jewish. If the Mavon is a stock organization, so maybe there's no Easter Ridge as well, maybe even if it is the Raisa, so we're Machman, and we say no. We don't allow the Gizbe Shalzdaka to lend out the Ridge to the Raisa. We only allow it in the Rabban. So for that, with respect to that deal, if the Rashba suggests maybe it doesn't even exist, maybe there's no prohibition, the Chalal on the part of the Jews that lend the Ribbon, so we're Machma, yeah, we're not going to do it. It's the Rashba, only with the Rabbanon. So it could be that you have the right to rely, obviously the Yeshiva relies on it. It could be that they have the right to rely on the fact that some claim that Rabba passed some hold like this, that in order to violate Ribbon's consent to the right, so you have this Chalal across the Chalal. And a check would only be written to Rabban because it's not the Gufa Mon. What's the difference between the Nosla Hakti? Gemara has a discussion about that. What if, let's say, I have a bank, a Jewish person has a bank, and people come in, they borrow money. So the customers are coming to borrow money. They are Yisraelim, and they are Nachrim. So I can't say, I can't put up a big sign, I can't advertise in the newspapers, any Nachri who comes in, I'm going to lend the money, the Ribbon. And any Israel who comes in, I'm going to lend the money, believe me, I can't do that. I put up the sign, I'm lending money, low interest rate, lending money, the Ribbon, to everybody. And then when the Yehudim come in, so I whisper in their ear, I say, don't worry, you just fill out the papers, and then when it comes later, you'll pay the Ribbon, and then I'll give it back to you. I'm an Oslahaki. What if I tell them in advance that I'm an Oslahaki? But normally you say you violate the other Ribbon when you kite it. When you lend the money, there's a violation. When you collect the money, there's an additional violation. And maybe if I told the Israel in advance, before I lend them the money, that any extra penny I take, I'm going to return to you, maybe there's no prohibition. So the Gemara raises this question. What's the halacha of Ribbis on the Naslahat? So the Gemara says that it's a machlekes hatanai. The Gemara in Erechin and the Gemara in Zemesh. The Gemara says that it's a machlekes hatanai. But the Satemes and that Gemara in Erechin has a novel interpretation. He claims the following, that the machlekes hatanaim is whether tzad echad beribis is ribis the araisa or ribis the rabbanim. And they both agree. Abiyud and Achacharim, all the tanaim agree that ribis the araisa amanas lahaftir is prohibited, and ribis the rabbanim amanas lahaftir is mutter. And they just argue what the status of tzad echad beribis is. Tzad echad beribis is the araisa, that it's osir rafim amanas lahaftir. Tzad echad beribis is only osir rabbanim, that it's mutter. If it's amanas lahaftir, this is what the Sfasemis claim. An interesting interpretation in the Gemara. It fits in very nicely in the Gemara. The trouble is that the Shulchan Aruch is the favorite against it. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's prohibited to lend amanas lahaftir, afilu beribis the rabbanim. Even if the whole ribis that you're lending is only ribis the rabbanim, you're not allowed to do it. It's amanas lahaftir. That's the favorite. The Mechaber is the favorite against the Sfasemis. But the Sfasemis seems to have had, he doesn't spell out the whole story. That's his whole pshat. He doesn't give the following. He seems to have understood as follows, that there's perhaps a basic distinction between Ribbis the Rais and Ribbis the Rabbanon, that runs as follows. Or Barber quotes in the end of Bomitzia a question in the name of Rav Chaim, remember Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, what's the nature of the prohibition of Ribbis? Is it an Issa Benon Mamakam, or is it an Issa Benon Mahaveu? From one place, the Gemara says, in the beginning of the Zer Nesha, the Gemara says that the Issa Ribbis is sort of like an Issa Gezel. No, Issa Gezel is an Issa Benon Mahaveu, I'm cheating another person. And on the other hand, one could say, although there's not the favorite Gemara, one could perhaps argue with that Gemara and say, what do you mean Gezel? But the fellow agrees. Not only agrees, he came over to ask me for a loan, and he pleaded with me. He wants me to lend him the money. He says, in the bank they charge 10% interest. He wants me to lend him 5%, 3% interest. So he's pleading with me, I should do him a favor. I'm going to turn him down, because I have to go to the bank and pay more interest. So I'm doing him a valid favor. So how can you say that the nature of the prohibition is unique to the non-machaveirah? I'm ba'aveling my fellow Jew. What do you mean ba'aveling a Jew? He's pleading with me that I should do him this favor. Let's say he needs an income tax deduction or something, so he needs to pay some interest. And so I'm doing him a big favor by charging him the interest. So one could argue the point and say that it's not a Nisa bin Alma Haver at all. Perhaps it's only Nisa bin Alma Mach. But this is the Shaila Rav Chaim, above their course, the Rav Chaim discussed. Above their course, the Raya, that in the Yeshiva, everybody says over. How come Hilchos Ribbis are printed in Yeridei? Why doesn't it appear on Chesh Mishpat? The day is all Ben Adam HaMakam. Now Ben Adam HaHaver is all belonging in Chesh Mishpat. But in the fact that Hilchus Malvah V'Loi is all in Chesh Mishpat. In the Rambam you can't tell. The Rambam puts Hilchus Ribbis together with Malvah V'Loi. But that doesn't prove that's neither here nor there. It's logical. If the Hilchos Shvitas would have been put to Chayshim Mishpat, there would also be no kasha. Why isn't it Chayshim Mishpat? It belongs to Chayshim Mishpat in the middle of Malchus Malchus. But if you go out of your way and you put it in your day in the middle of the in between Hilchos Nid and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, what does it belong over here? So the Yerodei the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch make it so obvious that it's an Issa Ben Olam HaMalchum, not Ben Olam HaMeir. Yeah, one could argue a point to say it's a lower form of Gezel than kind of Gezel. It's Mutter by an Achri. He agreed. How can it be Gezel? So the answer is by Jew, he say, even though he agreed, he didn't mean it. By an Achri, you say, he didn't mean it. You can easy way out. That's a good point. That's a good point. So the Sassemus could be driving at the following distinction. It could be that he means to say that the Issa Riddhis, the nature of Riddhis, the right is an Issa Ben Olam HaMakom. Whereas the nature of the Issa Riddhis, the Rabbanon is an Issa Ben Olam HaHaver. So the Nachmina Rokat, what about Amanas Lahakter? If I tell him in advance, I'm going to give you back every single penny. If the nature of the Issa Riddhis that I'm cheating him, I promise in advance I'm going to give back every penny, and he's going to give back every penny. So maybe that takes off the whole Issa by Riddhis, the Rabbanon. But by Ribbid Deraita, with the nature of the Easter is that it's an Easter Ben Olam HaMakom, what does it help? I'm going to give it back. Why should that help? If I've already violated out there. So Shanavitan out there. There is a common practice that developed in the Middle Ages, and then it continued on for many, many years, that when people lend large sums of money to others who are in business, and they don't want to lose all of that interest, they could have put the money in a bank. And he could have made a fortune, or he could have invested it in some other fashion and made a fortune. So they're really losing money. They make a hat to risk it, and everything is okay. What exactly is a hat to risk all about? So the Gemara has the idea of an iska. In the days of the Gemara, they say that if it's not specified one way or the other, we assume that a normal iska is palga milga or palga pikada. Let's say you have a document that says that you gave me $1,000 as an iska, and it doesn't say what do you mean an iska. So we assume that of the $1,000, $500 was an outright halakhah, a loan for which you have no right to charge interest, and the remaining $500 was a pikadon that I'm going to invest for you, and I'm going to make business with your money. Let's say I call up a stockbroker, and I tell him to invest for me. But that's not a loan, he's my agent, he's doing on my behalf with my money. So maybe when I give you $1,000 and I tell you invest the money, it's not that I'm lending you money and then now you're investing for yourself. You're investing on my behalf, you're just the broker. So if it's a stam iska, the Gemara simply assumes that it's palga milga or palga pikadon. So what they would always do is like this, let's say I want to borrow $1,000 at 10% interest. So you're not allowed to charge interest, I'm not allowed to pay interest. So I'll say like this, give me $1,000 and I'll declare palga pikadon and palga milga. And the palga milga, the $500, that's a halvor, no interest-free loan. I'm going to pay you back $500. The hit that's a pikadon is understood that I have to invest it for you. I'm going to be investing the full $1,000. I'm going to invest in $500 for myself and $500 for you. The hit that's milza, I'm going to be investing for me. That's my money. The hit that's pikadon, I'm going to be investing for you. And I'll invest this money in such a good way that it's going to make a fortune of reba. I expect to get more than 20%. So therefore, let's say on the $500 of pikadon, you gave me $1,000. The $500 was milza, interest free. $500 was pikadon, and you really want 10% interest on the full $1,000. You're not allowed to charge that. So we say no interest, but the palga pikadon, the $500 of pikadon, I'll be investing along with my $500 of the milza, and I expect to make such wise investments that I'll be getting 20% interest on my investment. I'm going to invest in real estate, in stocks, whatever. And I'll be getting 20% interest, and you will be entitled to 20% on your $500, which in effect is 10% on $1,000. The same thing. Yeah. The thing is that the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his Igros Moshe that the heter iska that all of the persons we talk about is only valid if, number one, they both understand what they're talking about. They both understand what it means. If they just sign a document, heter iska, they don't know what they're talking about, it doesn't mean anything. Number two, that is really, he really understands that he may lose his money. The palga milza, you're never going to lose the $500, but the palga pikadon, what if I invest your $500 with my $500, the whole $1,000 I invested in some investment, and the whole thing goes down, I lose all the money, it goes bankrupt. So then, the palga milza, I got to pay you back the $500, but the palga pikadon, you get paid back nothing. So the only thing is, you're not looking to believe me that I lost the whole investment. So you can say, you don't want to have to take my word for it. I'll take money from you, because, and then I'll say that I lost it, it was a very bad investment, and I lost all the money. So you don't want to have to trust me. So let's say you can insist that you want me to swear, And I say to tell you in the presence of all the rabbonim in the yeshiva that the investment really went down. You can insist on that. You don't want to take my word for it without my having to swear in the presence of all these rabbonim. Or let's say, I can say later on, I'm a religious Jew, and Orthodox Jews don't like to swear, and even though the truth of the matter is that the investment went down, I'd rather pay you the 20% revah than swear that the investment went down. So Lamaisha, that's what the heterisk is all based on. This is understood to be the condition, that it's called a little bit of palga pikadon, and instead of paying 10% interest on the whole $1,000, you multiply the interest that you want, and you say, I'll give you 20% on half the amount. Why? Because that's the palga pikadon that he's entitled to. And in the event that the investment goes down, you're not entitled to tax. You see, 20%, you're only entitled to whatever revah came, and if no revah came, you're not entitled to anything. And if I lost everything, so now I'm entitled to get back the $500 of the pikadon. In the event that it goes down, you don't have to take my word for it. You can insist that you want me to swear in the presence of Rabbanim. And if I choose not to have to swear, I will have to buy that right by giving you back the $500 pikadon with the 20% interest that you would have normally been entitled to. That's what the outline of the heterisk is all about. The question is, a lot of times people make a heterisk, but they're nervous about this. They don't want to trust the other guy with anything because they're afraid the other guy's really going to swear. He's going to swear that the investment went down. So they throw in another condition that makes it absolutely impossible. Keeps on going down, down, down. Disappears, bankrupt, doesn't exist anymore. What do you mean I can make him swear? If he doesn't want to swear, he has to buy his way out. He doesn't have to swear. I know the truth that it went down. I know what he invested in. So Moshe says whenever you give your money to another party that has to risk it, the best thing is that you don't know what he's putting the money into and you don't follow it, you don't know anything about it. Because if you know everything that's going on, if it goes up, that's wonderful. But if it goes down and you still want him to pay you in order to buy you off the right that he shouldn't have to swear, in order to pocket himself in the shvua, but you know what the truth is. What do you mean? You have no right to demand the shvua. You know what the truth is, that the investment went down. So Moshe writes that you're not so keen about the heterisk. Nobody was too keen about the heterisk. The Vilna Gaon has quoted this thing that the Dayan in Vilna once told him, one of the Dayan once told him, that he had a dream, that one of the Chashav of Balabatim came to him in a dream, and he looked what a Balabatim had died. Came to him in a dream, and he looked awful, and he saw that he must be suffering in Gehenna. And the Dayan asked him in the dream, you look awful, they must be punishing you in Gehenna, what do you do? So he says he lent his money to Yiddish. He was a wealthy Baal Basra. What do you mean you lent to Yiddish? You didn't make a head to this kid. So the Baal Basra said, yeah, I made a head to this kid. Oh, he made a head to this kid. But there's a Shammah to hold him up. But there's a Shammah that doesn't hold him a head to this kid. So they're punishing me in Gehenna. So the Vilna Gaon used to always tell us over the name of his Dayan. But the Bezer Shammah, according to his dream, the Bezer Shammah doesn't hold him a head to this kid. So many Tibetans were opposed to the heterisk. You should always try to avoid it. And the Vilna Gaon said, well, if you can't avoid it all year long, but it says in the Shulchan Aruch that during Yom Ha'Nayrayim season, you should be machna. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should be careful not to eat tasakim. There's a question, what about other things in addition to tasakim? So the Vilna Gaon said, you should be machna on everything. And it gave a different definition of Yom Ha'Nayrayim. We usually say our Torah to make sure, based on the Yishami, that 10 days a year you shouldn't eat tasakim. The Vilna Gaon said, Tzarek from Ashkeda Shelo to Lech Vesim HaTzayr. It's Yom Nerun. So you shouldn't use a heterisk. It's a big chance. 2 months. 2 months of the year is called Yom Nerun. He really didn't hope in the heterisk. So Moshe Feinstein is really opposed to the heterisk. The Shaila is, he was sent to Shaila from a wealthy banker in London who was a religious Jew that the Jews put the money in the bank. And then this banker paid them the savings account. And then the banker gives them interest. So what's the head of Sahmamish and Nisa Yudis? So Moshe Feinstein writes, he doesn't think you should go make a head of this. He doesn't think head of this is a crowd of people who usually don't realize what he's talking about. It's not a good age. He thinks that by a bank, the cloud is no Issa Yudis. If I put my money in the bank, Why? He says, because there's limited liabilities on a corporation. Limited liabilities means that there's no shibra guf at all, and any of the owners of the bank, there's only shibra nechas of all the assets that belong to the bank, I'm meshugah to pay back. Let's say I put $1,000 in the bank, and the bank goes bankrupt. So I can only try to collect up to $1,000 and the interest, whatever, from the assets of the bank. I can't knock on the door as president of the bank and all the partners and say, you owe me $1,000. I have no personal liability. Liability is only on the property. So Moshe says, what does that mean? That there's only a shibud nechasim without a shibud aguf. You know, Moshe's mechadish based on the whole perik as El Nesher. It doesn't say the fairish in any one place. It says that's the gist of all the Gemara, that whenever there's no personal shibud aguf, there's only shibud nechasim, so there's no issa riddis at all. No issa riddis deraisa, and there's no issa riddis derabbanon. Zion Weiss and Eda Haredi disagrees with Moshe. Of course, Moshe and his children and then Hasid Chotney disagrees based on a Gemara in Megillah. Gemara Megillah talks about Bnei Huir, the name of the fairish, Bnei Huir Shemacha Beis HaKnesses Shalayim. That's not the first Mishnah, but that's one of the dinim in that territory. Like the community sold, they had a shul, and everybody moved to a different part of the city. And the old shul was no longer in use, so they sell the shul to a private person. So the Mishnah says they should sell it al hatanai. But in the event that they want to buy it back, they reserve their right to buy it back within a reasonable amount of time. Otherwise, the guy's going to make a big factory there, whatever, they're going to make a bank, and then they're going to say, 20, 30 years later, they want it back. So within a year, make a condition, so just in case the Balabatim decide to move back to this community, they should always have the right to buy back the shul and convert it back into a shul. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The fellow who's buying the shul from the community gives them, let's say, $50,000 for the building. And then he's living in the building. He uses it for his own purposes. Then after a year or two, the Bnei Huir are going to buy it back from him, they're going to return his $50,000. You're going to buy back and convert it back into a shul. So doesn't it come out that that he really lent them, he gave them $50,000, he gave the Bnei Huir $50,000, Allah Tanan, in the event that you back out within 2 years, the $50,000 should be a loan, which you'll pay back to me. And in the event that you don't back out within a year or two, then the $50,000 should be the Dmei HaMekah for the purpose of purchasing this the shul, the building. So it doesn't come out that he loaned them $50,000, which they paid him back, plus that he got interest that he was living in a building. He was living in the shul for a year or two. Isn't that a violation of riddis? That's a big worry. It should be tzarecha the riddis. It should be riddis all the time. Do we talk to tzarecha the riddis is awesome? That's a good problem. But still let it be awesome. So the, that's a big worry discussed. This issue. Tzarecha the riddis is a result of the problem. So the Minchas Yitzchot Tainin, what are you talking about tzarecha the riddis? If Moshe Feinstein were right in his claim that whenever there's limited liabilities, whenever there's no shibra guf on any individual person, a group of persons, and there's no violation of riddis at all, you only violate riddis when there's a shibra guf. Here by the Bnei Huir, where is there a shibra guf? There's no shibra guf. Which person, a group of people, it's an organization, it's like a corporation. Which person, a group of people, are the ones who obligated themselves to pay him back the Dmei HaHalvor, the $50,000. They kind of don't just see from that Gemara that the Moshe is wrong. I don't know. Maybe you can say that the Nesivis there, in a few different places, that the Dmei Huir are considered Shutzim. Who owns the shul? Because it's not owned by the corporation of Zdok. He says the shul is owned by the Shutzim, so the Dmei Huir. Maybe it's Mamish Shutzim, but it is a Shibra Guf. In the event that, that they'll decide that they want to buy back the shul, it has to be a Shibra Guf. And all of the Shutzim are the shul. All members of the shul can buy back. He will be. And if that's his time, he doesn't agree with the Moshe Feinstein. What about the reverse? Not that I'm putting my money into the bank, and the bank is giving me riddis, that Moshe Feinstein claims he's mutter. Let's say instead of putting cash into the bank, if I put a check in, and then if I collect later on, I'll ask the doctor for a check, I won't ask for cash. But then the worst it'll be, according to many persons, will be an issue riddis de rabbanon. So then, some of the shul could die while going outside, and Moshe Feinstein is only riddis de rabbanon. But Moshe holds from this hat to even a riddis de raisa. That when there's no shibra guf on the part of the loy, then there's no issue riddis. But Moshe says that's only if the loy is a corporation, Jewish corporation, that it's Muslim. What if the malva is a corporation, the loy is an individual person? Let's say it's a Jewish bank, which has no personal liability, it's fine. It's only Shibin Chas and no Shibin Aguf. But I'm borrowing money from the bank. Not that I'm putting my money in the savings account, so I'm lending money to the bank. I'm borrowing money from the bank. So So what's the din in such a case? So Moshe says if the Ma'al is a corporation and the Loid is a private person, that's an Issa Rivas Deraisa. I accept it upon myself as Shivat Agur. I accept the Shivat Agur. That's an Issa Rivas Deraisa. This is it. Lachara should be an Issa Rivas Deraisa. This is a big issue in Europe. That's why he discussed it. If you have a bank that's a corporation, maybe I should say that the halacha should recognize the concept of a corporation. Because the din of the Mahus claims that a corporation is not like a shukri. That's why you have limited liabilities. They claim that the money in the bank, when I borrow $1,000 from the bank, you don't say I'm borrowing, let's say the bank has 10 partners, each one is an equal partner. They don't say I'm borrowing $100 from Reuven, $100 from Shimon, $100 from Levi, $100 from Yehuda. They are all shukri in the bank, and the din of Mahus declares that I'm buying money from the entity of the bank, from the corporation. So this is a question that the post can raise. Should we recognize this concept of the din of the Malchusa that I'm borrowing money from the bank, which is not a Jewish person. It's a dummy, it's a Chaloshem body. It's not a real body, it's an organization. It's not a real person. Maybe that can't be an issue with it. So should we say that we do not recognize this concept of cooperation? Only to the extent that we say if the bank is borrowing money from me, we say we recognize no shit like this, no shit in the house. But if the bank is lending to me, I say I'm borrowing I'm borrowing directly the ribbis from the Jewish shuftim in the bank. That's the question. So the Zvar Abraham, the covenant Rav, has a shuvah about this. In the third chelik of his shuvah Zvar Abraham, he talks to a lot of gedolim in Europe discuss this. Some gedolim in Europe, in the shuvah in the Arya, the Bei Lord, Arya, the Bei Lord, the Talmud of his place. It's a big Kalatiana going. I think the Aryeh, the Bei Lo, if I'm not mistaken, was the father-in-law of the Shinizah. Shinizah wrote the Divrei Chesed, the Chiddush Rebbe, he was the son of the sons of Rav, the Divrei Chaim. I think the Aryeh, the Bei Lo, he was a Halbishtan. But when the Chutin was the Divrei Chaim, his daughter married the Shinizah, if I'm not mistaken. He has very stark children. He's a big Goyen Adib, all the big Toskins. In the last 150 years, before the Second World War, were all from Poland and Galicia. They weren't from Israel. This way, they knew how to learn them. They knew how to say shiurim. But it's a big, very good shul. It's all written by the Galatiana. The Galatiana great. He has very strong, very good shul. He has a whole shul about this issue. That one of his contemporaries, the Gedolim, wrote her sefer that if you have a bank where there are different partners, some of the partners are Jews, some of the partners are non-Jews, so if more than 50% of the partners are non-Jews, then you can say that the Jewish money is bottled the right. So when I borrow money, when a Jew borrows money from the bank, she says borrowing $1,000, and they have 10 partners, all equal partners, and 6 out of the 10 partners are non-Jews, and 4 out of them are Jews. So I should say that I'm borrowing $400 of Jewish money, $600 is non-Jewish money if I'm borrowing $1,000. So some gedolim wanted to say, no, that Jewish money is bottled for right. So the pastor says that that's not correct. There are mishnayos about that. You can't say this is correct. There's a place in the end of Tzmura. This is the end of the word. They call it the Ramar, Veirenu Harav. And Rav Shimon Shkop has a whole Avichon found that Tesis in the end. You say it. The Tesis says that the only time you can say Bittul Beroiz is if the thing was once in Barer, and then it was Nisarev. Then the Shachter discussed Bittul Beroiz. But if the thing was never in Barer in the first place, what Shachter talk about Bittul Beroiz? You can't say that originally there was Jewish money, non-Jewish money, the money got mixed up, and now you can't identify whose money is the Jews, whose money is the Goy. They originally invested money, they put it in the bank. And then over the years, they're investing in that, and the bank is rich and rich and rich. They can't say that there's Jewish money, non-Jewish money, is bottled the right. All the money is on the shifts. Each one has 10% of the money. So what you have to say, this is the right. Very strange. The Marsham had another idea, which is also extremely strange. All the government rejected it. Marsham is known as a big maker. Marsham is always making. Sometimes the government were very unhappy with his pool. They said that they were way, way off. Here he has the pool too. He says that when you borrow money from the bank, okay, I go to a bank, city bank, that I borrow money. So the owner of the bank, one of the shutsim who owns the bank, is there and he lends me the money. And that's the guitar. They have workers. They're sitting in Florida. They're sitting in Eretz Yisrael, California, wherever. They don't come to work in the bank. All the people who do the work in the bank have to keep in. So when I borrow the money and I pay back the nidus, everything is done ideationally. Never done directly. And the Gemara says in Bavli Tzeva, you also tell the Nibbis Abba on the Ad Loi V'Yad Malv. The only time you violate the Nibbis right is if the deal is done directly between the Malv and the Loi. What if it's done to a middleman? So Rashi is quoted by a Talmud, the Marchai quotes a Talmud, Rashi said in his name that it's not Nibbis the right, it's only Nibbis the right. So on the other day they quote this and they all say that it was a Talmud Tayyip.
Rashi had a lot of students. Some of them were morons, and some of them were intelligent. Some got 100 on the exam, some got 30. This was a Talmud, so I didn't know what the world was talking about. He said, in the name of Rashi, that's not awesome and not fair. But we also tell the Rishis Abom, Yadloi, Yadloi, only if the deal is done directly. The Gemara didn't mean that at all. The context of the Gemara is like this. The context of the Gemara is like this. Let's say someone needs $1,000 very badly. But he has no assets, and nobody wants to lend him any money. Banks doesn't want to lend them, none of his friends want to lend them. So I'm friendly with Mr. Jessler. I go over to Jessler and I say, this poor guy needs $1,000. And it's never, but Achman is on him. So I tell you what, I'll give you $50, but you should lend him $1,000. So the Gemara says, that's Musa. Aye, but it's Ribbis. He lent him $1,000 and he gets back $1,050. Gemara says, no. The poor man isn't giving Jessler $1,050. Poor man borrows $1,000 and gives him back $1,000. I'm giving him $150. If the poor man is going to reimburse me for the 50, so then place his institution where it costs him to rob money. But if the poor man doesn't reimburse me, I go behind the scenes, I make a deal, I give the rich man the money that he should lend. That's what the Gemara says. I also tell the rich top money, I lend him, I'm not, it's only prohibited. The deal was done, the carrying with the rivers is giving me the amount of the money. Someone, a third party, makes a deal, he gives the rivers the amount of the money, only to the carrying, that's money. This Talmud quotes in the name of Rashi that it includes even much more than that. If there's a middleman who's doing the business directly between the two, the clerk who does the work in the bank, the loan clerk, the most important holder is the Talmud Torah. So the Marsham says, he's a Talmud Torah that he said that it's Mutter, Legamre. But part of what the Talmud Torah says, even if the students get a 30 on the exam, but 20% they did get straight. They didn't know 70% of what the Rebbe said, but 30%. Because the Talmud Torah made a mistake. He thought that Rashi said that it's Mutter Legamre, that's incorrect. But what Rashi probably must have been incorrect. What probably Rashi must have said was that there's no Yisra Ribbis there, right? There's only Yisra Ribbis Rabban. It's already questionable whether it's true. He says, on that assumption, using that Hanukkah, that's only Yisra Ribbis Rabbanon, he proceeds to say that there is a cloud of Bidya Raita, a Brerit, the Rabbanon, Yesh Brerit. If you deal with it in the Raita, you can't say Yesh Brerit. If you deal with the Rabbanon, you can say Yesh Brerit. If you can say Yesh Brerit, there are 10 ships in the bank. There are 2 ships in the bank. And I'm borrowing $1,000. And one of the Goyim who has a ship in the bank has more than $1,000. So I said, Yesh Brerit, the Rabbanon. Since the worst I can be violating is Ribbis the Rabbanon, because the Ribbis is not being negotiated directly to the Malvin of Aiva, that's only Ribbis the Rabbanon, so you have the right to say Yesh Brerit, that all of the $1,000 that I'm borrowing is the Goy's money, it's not the Jew's money. So that's the halacha, the Ribbis the Rabbanon, Yesh Brerit. All the person after the Masham say that he made a mistake. That is not correct. When the Gemara says Yesh Brerit, Ribbis the Rabbanon, that's only Lacha Chalukha. But you have Shus Mishachoko. So then I say, Zer Chelka HaMagir Mishar Rishayna, this is what was the Jews all along, and that was the Goyim all along. But if it's still Shutrim, nobody holds Yesh Brerit. Because my method is still Shutrim. So when you take something, so you take it to Tarumim. I'm taking 60% Goyish money and 40% Jewish money. 40% of $1,000 is $400. I'm borrowing $400 for Ribbis, to the Ribbis there, I said. The Ribbis there, I bought them, if you say, it's only me, I'm living the other. So that's a very difficult, to borrow money from a bank is a very problematic, issue. Where do you have a bank in the world that doesn't have a Jew as a shutzim? The only banks that don't have any Jewish shutzim are Arab banks. And the Arabs don't lend the ribbons. The true Arabs don't lend the ribbons. They're very bad. So what should I have to borrow money? Really a difficult child. Are you permitted to take out a mortgage if the person wants to buy a home? So he doesn't have all the money. So he takes out a mortgage with the mortgage. The bank is lending him money to the ribbons. Every bank has a Jewish shutzim. Are you permitted to borrow money from the bank? To borrow money, government loan, a Jewish government, no problem. Permitted to borrow from the government. To borrow from the bank, every bank has at least one Jewish shutzim, has many Jewish shutzim. Are you permitted to borrow? If you see yourself. There are different forms. Let me just point out, the Shulchan Aruch has the following case. What happens? It's a common case, it happens a lot. Let's say the son is married and he has a job, but he doesn't make so much school money. The graduate school doesn't make so much money, and he wants to borrow some money from the bank. He wants to borrow $5,000, and he'll pay it out sometime in the future. But the bank is not going to loan him $5,000, has no assets. They're afraid that they may never get their $5,000 back. So the father, let's say, the father doesn't want to lend the $5,000 to himself. He wants to run the bank. So the father allowed to go to the bank, borrow $5,000, really didn't. Even if you assume that on the assumption that you're allowed to borrow money from the bank, which itself is highly questionable because every bank has a goyish shutzim. So let's assume for some unknown reason that you're allowed to borrow money from the bank. That we do recognize the din in Machuzah as a separate entity. Shvera has that I'll go to the bank, I'll take out $5,000, and the bank will tell me the rules and the regulations. If you pay it back within a month, you got to pay $5,025. Pay it back after 2 months, you got to pay $5,050. Pay it back after 3 months, after a year, after 5 years, after 10 years. I say, okay, I'm an okay now, yes. Then I give over the $5,000 check to my son, and I say, here are all the rules and the regulations, and you take care of the bank, and I have nothing to do with it. So what's the deal over here? The Goyish bank, and I'm Jewish, my son is Jewish. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's a violation of Riv. Why? Because the bank lent me money. The bank didn't lend my son. The bank lent me the money. Then I took the money, I lent it to my son, the Riv. I gave my son a $5,000 check. And I said, in exchange for this, in payment for this $5,000 that I'm giving you now, I want you to give the bank $5,000 plus Riv. Either none of the money is being given to me, so what's the issue of ribbis? Ribbis means I give you $100 and you give me back the carrying with extra. So the Shulchan Aruch talks in the Balei HaTesis, the tour based on Balei HaTesis, that's the halacha of Orei. If I say, here's $5,000 and I want you to give the bank $5,000 plus the ribbis. So you're giving the bank as simply as if he gave me, and that would be a violation of ribbis kitsutsa, the right, if everything was done by check. He said many persons have drunk persons and say that it's only religious kitsutsa in the Rabbanah. Perhaps they're going to be other religious. If it's done by kids, then it'll be religious kitsutsa. But it's going to be a problem of religious. A lot of people don't know that. They violate that, that form of religious. So the Kivegi even has the following interesting kiddush. Let's say it's done by cash. Let's say I take $5,000 in cash in the bank. I give the cash to my son. I say that when you're good and ready, you have to pay back to the bank the $5,000 plus the interest. So when you're dealing with money, it'll be religious direct. It won't be religious Rabbanah. It's a check. The many hold it's only other kids. It's the cash of the Yiddish Kitsutsa. The next time my son goes ahead, so we violate it, stop on. So the son goes ahead and pays back the carrot to the bank, plus all of the Yiddish Kitsutsa. Then the son finds out that he was just in violation of Yiddish Kitsutsa. So my son has the right to come to me and tell me, Dad, I want you to pay me back the Yiddish Kitsutsa. I never got anything out of it. But Kivega says, sorry, you can't ask the bank to pay back the Yiddish Kitsutsa. The bank didn't violate any other errors. Bank is a corporation. They had the right to do it. They had the right to lend the ribbons. It was my right. I was the mouth and my son was the loiver. Even though I never collected the ribbons, let's say I lend you $100 and I'll say, but this $100 would sit in the bank, it would make 10% interest. So I don't want you just to get away with nothing. I would have given that money to charity. So I'm giving you $100 and at the end of the year you should give me back $100 and give a $10 donation to your favorite charity, to my favorite charity. So the Shulchan Aruch says that Tanisa ribbons, Kitsutsa, they are Aisir. I lent you $100 and I was mechayev to pay $110. I because $10 is given to tzedakah, it doesn't matter. You're giving it to tzedakah, our PTVE is considered as if you gave it to me and it's my violation of Ribbis Kitsutsa and I have to reimburse you now the $10. So it comes in, I lost $10 on the deal. So the same over here, let's say, if I borrow, I take out $5,000 from the bank and I give it to my son. The son pays all of the carrying and the ribbons and everything to the bank. So later on, the din says that that's what Rabbi Kivegi says, that I have to reimburse my son every penny of ribbis that he paid the bank. Because that would have been a witness consensus. Of course, if everything is done by check, so then many persons hold their son's Rabbanah. What do you do if you have a suffix, but if something is written the right or written the Rabbanah? They say that it's Yotub Dayanim, Seker the right of the Chumr. Witness consensus of Yotub Dayanim is a mitzvah, the Chei Achicha Ima. The Gemara Darshan's on the topic, Ahadalei Kehecha Detechi Ba'adok. You should return the witness consensus in order that Achicha should be able to live along with you. The Chei Achicha Ima is the mark of a witness consensus of Yotub Dayanim. Could be, I think, the Rabban Kantin is one of the Nimina Mitzvahs. And now it's not just in the Mitzvah Sefer, I think it counts for the Chei Achichimo, the Yiddish Kitsutsa, Yosef Ben, to return Yiddish Kitsutsa. I think it counts as one of the minyan ha'esrin that the Rambam omitted. So the Shah, at the very end of Hilchos Ribbis, quotes the Machlokes Tshuvos Achronim. I think it's on the last page. On the last page, the very last Shah in Hilchos Ribbis, Tzuf Ein Zayin, quotes the Machlokes Achronim about this. What's the din? So you say stake of the right of the chumrah, and you have to return the ribbis kitsutsa to the loiver because maybe stake of the right. Maybe you have a mitzvah over here, the chayach chimo. Or you say no. That even though it's a mitzvah, but still, since it's an issue of mammon, so the din is hamayt mechaber al overat. The pashtus is that you say hamayt mechaber al overat, because even if tigin aben is certainly a mitzvah, you say brachim, you will tigin aben. Nonetheless, the Mishnah you say the favor, so when you have a suffix on tigin aben, so you say that Hamayt Mechaber, all of our right, but you don't have to give the pigeon of that. There are many forms of Ribbis Nidir Rabbanim, many forms of Ribbis Nidir Rabbanim that people don't even realize. They violate this all the time. For example, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to sell on installments and charge more. said, I sold an automobile for $2,000, and if you pay on installments, it costs $2,500. But even though it's not a halvoya, it's a mechach, and I say that's the price. If you pay now, the price is $2,000. If you pay over the course of half a year, the price is $2,500. But the halacha says, no, since if you pay now, the price is $2,000, if you pay over the course of the year, you're paying $500 ribbis. That's only a ribbis derabbanon, because that's mechach hamemta. But if it is a ribbis derabbanon.
Has
the same buying power as the 2,000. Yeah, that's it. In America, let's say in America, if I should lend money and I should say I just want back, whenever you pay back the money, I just want back the amount of money that has the same buying power.
I don't want appreciation. No.
I just want that you should make up for the difference in the cost of living. I don't want appreciation. So that Moshe Feinstein says that that's still really there. And he has a whole very good children. Moshe has granted, this is one of the strongest children that he has about Yiddish. Very strong children. Where he explains that al-Pidin, money never changes in value. Commodities fluctuate in value. Money doesn't change. He shows that's the halacha. And the theist is not so. But in the halacha declares that the money always stays the same. The question is in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the government tells you in advance that they're going to keep on devaluating the money. So many Tosfim in Eretz Yisrael that the money doesn't have the status of money that he gave to the Din. That money always stays standard. Money always stays at the same value. Eretz Yisrael says that everything is unique in Eretz Yisrael. And the money situation is a cloud included in the unique situation of Eretz Yisrael. It's a big question. Whatever the demand in America, I'm not necessarily the same in Eretz Yisrael. There's another din in the Mishnah, let's say the following. They advertise in the newspaper they're going to print the book. They say, they do Maisim L'Chayon, all the time they do like that. And they say, pre-publication price is $20, a textbook or something. And if you wait till it's going to be on the market, it'll be $30. So the Mishnah says that that's an Issa Yiddish, but they're Rabbanon. The third one says, what's the Issa Yiddish and Rabbanon? Here's Shakerko Yiddish. If the book is printed and it's going to cost $30, so that means the value of the book is $30. So why is it that the pre-publication price is $20? What does that mean? That's not the price. The pshat is that the publisher, the printer, the Bala Machaber needs money. So I'm lending him $20 because there ain't no book. It's not here. There is no book. So the Machaber of the book is borrowing $20 and later he's paying me back $30 because he's giving back a book that's worth $30. But that's only Midas Rabbona. So that's why, let's say, if it's a duck organization, let's say a yeshiva has a camp or a yeshiva has a yeshiva. And they say the parents would pay tuition half a year in advance, but those who pay for the camp in May, so they give them hanocha, so give them 10% off. But those who only pay tuition, when it comes time to pay the tuition, they have to pay the full tuition, they have to pay the full amount. So that's only a yidin to rabbanon. So if it's a duck organization, then it's muslim. Let's say a guy has a bungalow colony, and he tells the people who rent his bungalows that those who pay him now, in the beginning of September, those who give him a check before Labor Day, the next summer, they'll give them a break, they'll give them more. So that should be an issue of yidin to rabbanon. I'll be passionate. That should be an issue of yidin to rabbanon, because they're renting in advance. They're not renting for the whole year, unless they're renting the bungalow for the whole year. Let's say they say like this. I want to rent the bungalow for next summer, for July and August, for less. So that means because they're paying in advance, they're giving them a break. No. Let's say he says, I'll rent you the bungalow as of now. You can leave all your things in the bungalow all winter long. So they're renting it as of now. They rent it as of now, so they're not paying the money in advance. They're paying the money at the beginning of the rental. So that's not an issue. But if they're paying in advance, then it's an Issa. So let's say a dentist is doing work on the patient. So the dentist looks at his mouth and he says, you need a lot of work. Let's say for the first visit, he doesn't charge any money. The dentist just tells you what the story is. You need this, you need that, you don't need this, and how much it's going to cost, take it or leave it. And he doesn't charge for the first visit. So then the patient decides, he wants to go through with this, with that, with the other thing, and how much it's going to cost, shank. But then the dentist tells him, okay, if you pay me as I go along and I do the work, it's going to cost $2,000. If you pay everything now in advance, today, give me a check today, I'll give you enough, $1,500. So the Gemara says that that's an Issa Yiddish. Again, because the dentist didn't do anything yet that he can charge for, so the first visit he doesn't charge. So I'm giving the dentist money before he even does any work. So that's a halvor. And the dentist gave me $2,000 worth of service because I loaned him $1,500. He's paying me more than I lent him. So that's an intermediate from the Rabbanon. So I say, it's not ridis, it's not a loan, I'm paying it in. From the Rabbanon, I say that it's an intermediate. Unless the dentist already started. But I say, okay, I want the whole deal and start drilling some of the teeth today. Start fixing the gum, start something there. So if he started something today that he can charge money for, then when I pay him the full $1,500, it's not that I'm paying him in advance of the service rendered. He's already started doing some of the service. But then even though he didn't finish all the work, then he marks, that's okay. There's no intermediate Rabbanon. This is sometimes the problem. Let's say I order a pair of fillings from a filling manufacturer. I order a Strymel. Someone else orders a Strymel. I don't know how to Strymel. And until they make the Strymel, it takes a long time. So I pay the money in advance. And the Strymel now, of course, is a common. You order a wedding gown or something. So if you pay in advance and they give you according to the present rate, even though the delivery of the Strymel or the filling or the wedding gown is done at a later date, it's going to cost much more money. At that time, so the halacha says that that's an intermediate, it's prohibited. Unless the guy has, a shtreimel that he can sell now, but I don't need the shtreimel. I'm getting married in another year, let's say. I don't need the shtreimel for another year. So, but if he has a shtreimel now, so then there's no reason. He might have a lot of details about it. The Ribbis Daraita is not as complicated as they're both very complicated, but Ribbis Daraita is much more complicated than the Ribbis Daraita. Okay.